Good morning. Welcome. All right, 9:15 service goers. Good to have you here this morning. I'm Mario Fernandez. I'm one of the pastors here. Whether you're in the room or online, we are just so thankful that you have chosen to spend this time with us, with the Lord. And we have a special opportunity this morning. We get to celebrate two things in one day. We get to celebrate Juneteenth, an opportunity to recognize a day of freedom, a day of emancipation, a day when our nation declares and recognizes that all men, all women are created equal. That's special. Yes. Not only do we get to celebrate that, but we get to celebrate Father's Day. How about it for the dads? Yeah. It's not easy being a dad. We thank you, men. We thank you, dads. We want to honor you today, and I'll have more to say about that in a few moments. But before we do that, let me invite our ushers to come forward. We're going to receive our offering in a moment. I want to thank you for your giving to our church, giving to the Lord, just as He has created us to be a generous, faithful people. And as we give, this allows us as a church family to open doors of ministry and opportunity to see people come to Christ, grow in their walk with Christ. And so thank you very much as you give this morning, and may the Lord bless you. Let's go before the Lord in prayer right now, not only for our offering, but let's prepare our heart, and we're going to receive the Word of God in a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our morning. We thank you that you have brought us here, Lord. This is an opportunity to gather in your name. And Lord, we thank you for this offering, Lord, that we are giving this morning. We ask your blessing on it, Lord. Continue to use our church, not only to speak into the lives of the men and women who are already part of our church family, but even beyond that, Lord, the walls of this auditorium, Lord, this campus, to our community, to the world we are a part of. We thank you for that, Lord. Increase our ministry, increase our cause, our passion for you. And Lord, as we go to the Word of God, Lord, would you prepare our hearts? Would we just receive your word spoken to us, what you want to say to us? Lord, I pray for myself, Lord, that you would gift me this morning as a teacher of your word. I pray that you will help me to share the things that you have put in my heart, and Lord, what you want to communicate to our church family today. And we thank you for all of this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Whew. Well, I want to begin my message this morning with starting out with something that is super meaningful to me. You see, a little over 3 weeks ago, I became a grandpa again for the fifth time. Yeah. Woo. I hardly had to do anything, and it happened. Yeah, I am a five-time grandpa. You see, my daughter, Lindsay, and her husband, Kyle, had their first child, a beautiful baby boy. Let's see a picture of this guy. Woo! Jeremiah James Gragnano. Look at that kid, man. That's a beautiful boy. His grandpa, his Tito, he looks just like that when he sleeps. And in case you didn't know it, my grandpa name is Tito, T-I-T-O. Now, I know some grandpas go by grandpa, papa, gramps. Mine is Tito. Now, there's a story behind it, but that's for another sermon. But, you know, I'm just excited. You know, if you're a grandpa, a grandma, you know the specialness of having that grandchild and how beautiful they are in your life. You know, but enough about my special news and my good news. Let's get into the good news of God's Word. If you have your Bible with you, I invite you to open to Joshua chapter 1. Now, as we talked about already, I'm sure we're all aware that today is Father's Day. It's a day when we want to honor our dads. It's a day when we want to lift them up, let them know how thankful we are for them. You know, this weekend is an opportunity to do that, to honor these special men, to encourage our dads. And that's what I want to do. As we go through this message, I want to just love on them for the sacrifices they make. I want to call you men up to a higher place in Jesus this morning. But before I go further down this dad road, I need to speak to the ladies who are here in the room. I need to speak to the ladies who are watching online. You see, I need your help. I need you to help in this time because I am going to speak to the men this morning directly. I'm going to speak to the guys who are here, to the dads who are here, and I need you ladies to help. I need you to pray, pray, pray. You see, I recognize that I believe God has a message for our men this morning. But I also recognize that we have an adversary, the devil, who doesn't want our men to step into the things that God has for them. And so, ladies, will you pray? Will you join me? Will you do the heavy lifting this morning? I hope so. Yeah, come on, ladies. Let me hear you. Do it. Yes. Yes, you know, we got moms, we got sisters, we got wives, we got aunts, we got mother-in-laws, we got grandmas here who are praying. And you know we don't mess with grandmas when they pray, right? No, you don't. Grandmas have a special tunnel right to God. He hears them. So, man, just lean into this. Just receive what God wants to speak to you this morning. Joshua chapter 1 is about the making of a man. Not just any man, but a man who is strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. Ladies, how many of you want a strong and courageous man? Yeah, I'm sure you do. You're not saying it, but okay. I'm saying it for you. I think you do. Men, how about you? Are you better? You want to be a strong and courageous man? Yeah! Yeah! Okay, good for you. Good on you, yeah. Well, we're going to see how to do that. Now, I want to let you know something. I have been walking with the Lord for 45 years. I'm 63 years old. Some of you are older than me in this room. Many of you are younger than me. And today, I want to speak to you as a father in the faith. I want to speak to you as one who's speaking man to man. And I hope you will receive the words that I am saying and encouraging you with this morning. You see, in chapter 1 of Joshua, we see 5 important qualities that makes a man strong and courageous. And a woman for that part. Ladies, even though I'm asking you to pray, 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 I want you to listen to. I want you to hear the things I'm saying. They will work for you as well. And you got a double duty. You're very good at multitasking. So with one hand, pray. With the other hand, listen. But men, lean forward. Come in. This is your hour. This is your time. I hope you haven't come here thinking, well, this is just another Sunday, just another opportunity. I can check my Sunday attendance off, check that box, I'm good. Because I don't think that's what God has for you this morning. I think God wants to speak directly to you. I think he wants to connect with you this morning, and he's brought you here for a purpose. Now, let me give you a little backstory to the book of Joshua. The young nation of Israel has been enslaved in Egypt for 430 years. And as they've cried out to God, God hears them and he raises up a deliverer for them. And who is that? Oh man, Saturday night did a much better job with knowing who it was. Who was the deliverer? Moses, this side has got it. Yeah, you guys are Bible scholars over around here. You guys kind of need to crack open the Bible a little more. Okay, Moses is the deliverer, right? Now, at this time, as he brings the people out of Egypt through some miraculous events, now this is not some little tribal thing moving out of Egypt. In fact, many commentators believe that Israel, the nation at this time, is somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 2 million strong. And so Moses brings them out, and they are going on a journey. They cross through the Red Sea miraculously as it parts, and they walk in this journey, and they get to this point where Moses sends in 12 spies into the land of Canaan to see what it's like, see how it's fortified. And unfortunately, 10 of those 12 come back with a bad report, a report of unbelief. Moses, we shouldn't go in there. Moses, this place is fortified. Moses, they're big. We can't handle this. But two of them come back in faith, a man named Caleb and a man named Joshua. The same Joshua this book is written about that we're going to be looking at. And so what was supposed to be just a short, probably several week walk in the desert to get to the promised land, because of unbelief, they wander for how many years? 40 years, yes. 40 years of wandering. They finally, all those of that generation of unbelief die off, and it's now time for them, the new people, the new group, to come to the edge of the promised land, that Jordan River that is dividing the east and the west, and for them to go across. And so that's where we come to Joshua chapter 1. In verse 1 and 2, we see that this first quality that makes for a strong and courageous man is a man who hears from God. A man who hears from God. Look at verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. Now, I want us to ponder five very important words that is written here in verse 1. It says, the Lord said to Joshua. You know, the Bible tells us that God actually speaks to Joshua here. Now, I'm not sure exactly how that went down. I'm sure it was probably something more than just a kind of a little internal impression. I think it was something a little more direct, a little more loud and bigger, perhaps maybe even an audible voice that he was using to speak to Joshua. Men, God is a vocal God, and he wants to speak to each one of you. He wants to speak to you. Do you know that in the New International Version, the phrase God said appears 505 times? God said. The phrase, the word of the Lord, appears 347 times? You see, God wants to speak to us as people. God wants us to hear the living God. We're not here because we're involved in a religion. We're involved in a church experience. We're not here because we're involved in a certain creed that we believe in. We're here because we believe in the living God. And that God speaks to us, to his people. Now, you may say, well, Mario, maybe he did that in the Old Testament, but he doesn't do that now. And I would argue back to, yes, he does. In John chapter 10, Jesus, of speaking of himself, he says, I am the good shepherd. And then he goes on, he says, and my sheep hear my voice. Are you part of his sheep? Are you one who's come to hear his voice? I can remember a time when I was in my early 20s. I used to work as a security guard, and the shift that I had been working was coming to a close, and when that happened, it would usually bring me to this place where I'd meet in a reception room where another guard would come, and he was finishing his shift as well. We would sit there, wait a few minutes till our replacement came in. And we were talking, as we had many times before, and I don't remember exactly what our conversation was at that moment. But one thing I do remember is I said, in the process of talking with him, and the Lord spoke to me, and then I blah, 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 went on, kept going on. And then he interrupted me. He said, Mario, what? What'd you say? Did you say the Lord spoke to you? And I'm like, oh, yeah, he did. He speaks to me, you know, just kind of an inner witness at times, maybe a still, small voice. And I had forgotten in that moment as I was talking with them of being used to the Lord speaking to me, but not everyone understood that. Not everyone understands that God wants to speak today. And I want to remind you, men, I want to remind you, dads, God speaks to us. Now, how does he do it? Sometimes this is an impression, it's an inner word, it's maybe what we call a still small voice. But he also does it through the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, as we read it and as we look into it, meditate upon it. He does so, he speaks to us also through circumstances. Some of you may be going through some circumstances right now that the Lord is talking to you if you will hear him. Sometimes God uses a friend to talk to us. Or sometimes he even uses a critic. You know what? Husbands, those of you who are married, let me remind you that sometimes God can speak to you through your wife. Yeah, all right. Ladies are praying now. You married ladies, you're praying now. The prayer meter is just pegging to the right? It's in the red zone right now. Preach it, Pastor Mario. Talk to my husband. Let him hear. Yeah, sometimes my wife was reminding me of that recently, that God speaks through her and sometimes wants me to hear what she's saying. Yeah, we're all living it, right? You know, what has the Lord been speaking to you lately? What has the Lord been speaking to you lately? What have you heard him say to you? You know, one of the things that he's been speaking to me about is being willing to just say yes to opportunities. Don't overthink it. Don't overevaluate it. If there's an open door before you, if you can, say yes to that. That's something I've been hearing myself from the Lord. What have you been hearing? Has it been a while since you've heard from the Lord? I think maybe this morning you can hear from the Lord. Men, do you know what I believe is probably one of the biggest hindrances from us hearing from the Lord? It's the white noise of busyness. The white noise of busyness. You know, we live in a very busy time. We live in a time that is fast-paced, a lot of activity, and it just kind of like moves into the wheelhouse of men. Because we're doers. We're takers. We're adventurous. We want to be busy. We have a bent towards that way. But sometimes that can work to our disadvantage where we're missing in the silence of the moment, in the stillness of the time, what God would be saying to us. And so I would encourage you guys, maybe slow it down if you need to. Put a little space between some activity. Allow God to speak to you so you can hear what he has to say. Dads, you know, sometimes we want to be the big dog, and we're a dog like this right here. Let's look at this. Yeah, that's a good-looking dog, right? That is a sweet-looking dog. But yeah, hold on. That dog has small ears. God wants us to be a dog like this when it comes to hearing. Yeah. Some big ears. Look at the dog, got his head cocked. He's listening. He's just rotating around. He's picking it up. He's got radar ears. Man, dads, God wants us to be like that so we can hear his voice, hear him speak to us, guide and lead us. We need wisdom, and God will give it to us. God is free that way. Now, what's God saying? Now, what God is saying to Joshua is the next quality that makes us strong and courageous. And that is, men, we need to find our appointed time and destiny. Look what God says in verse 2. He starts with, "My servant Moses is dead." Now, why did God tell Joshua this? Did Joshua not know this? Was he not aware that Moses had died? No, I don't think so. I think Joshua was well aware that his predecessor, his mentor, had passed. But see, I think God is saying this because he wants Joshua to understand that he is the man of the hour now. He has been groomed for this time. That Joshua, this is your time to ride point. Joshua, this is your opportunity to be the pebble that creates the ripple in the pond. And man, men, I believe that that's for us this morning. This time of 2022, this is our appointed time. This is our time to make the ripple. This is our time to ride point. You know, there's no more beautiful thing when we as men, when we step into the place of leadership that God has given to us. When we as dads, when we make sacrificial choices for the benefit of our family, man, that's when we're at our best. Let's not miss God's voice to us at this time and this point. We've come through a very difficult time historically, right? Through the pandemic of 2020. We're in a difficult time financially as well, as inflation is rising and life can be just difficult. But God, I mean, man, let me tell you, God is not caught by surprise. And you are not born at this time by mistake or by happenstance. God's hand is upon you. This is our time to shine and to let the Spirit of God shine through us. The Holy Spirit is giving us the reins. The Holy Spirit is giving us the opportunity to, as man, to stand up, to do what He wants in our sphere of influence. You know, I've been the men's pastor here at our church for the past 25 years. A quarter of a century of time. I've had the opportunity to lock arm with men as they participate in Momentum or been in small groups with other guys. I've done ministry with multiple men and multiple hundreds probably of different men. And we have some awesome men of God in our church here. We do. We have some tremendous guys who are here who love Jesus, who are making sacrifices or saying yes to the ways of God. But again, I've been doing this a long time, and I know that a room of this size, that there are also men who are living a Hebrews 5:12 lifestyle. And you may not even know it. You may be asking, well, what's a Hebrews 5:12 lifestyle? Well, let's look at the verse and you'll see. It says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. I know that there are some men in here who, you know what, you're just kind of drifting along. You're following maybe on the coattails of someone else. You're maybe just doing the routine of church. Maybe it was years ago you said yes to Jesus, but if you're honest with yourself, today you're just kind of on cruise. You haven't really been involved in the things of God. And I would tell you that today is your day to reboot, your day to start over again, your day to press in afresh, cross over that line again of faith and say, Jesus, here am I, use me. Men, do you hear what I'm saying? The Spirit of God is calling us to rise up. Moses' protege, Joshua, had been groomed for this time that they are about to experience. In the latter part of verse 2, it says, God speaks to him, says, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. You see, they were going to cross over the Jordan River and go into a new land. Here on this map, you can see they're on the east side where that yellow arrow is. After 40 years of wandering, they now find themselves here about to cross over. And soon they will encounter a fortified city of Jericho. This has been a 1,500-year promise that originated, that was given to Abraham, and it's now time to be fulfilled. You know, what is the promise that God has for us in 2022? A promise for us to walk into. What is it that the Lord has for you to contend for and to believe for and to experience? The Bible speaks of King David. in Acts 13, it says, now when David had served God's purposes in his own generation, he fell asleep. You see, man, we all have a generation appointed to us, and ours is now. David, he served God in his purpose, in his time. David's time is not our time, but our time is now. God wants to gift us now for what is before us. Don't sleep during your generation. Don't sleep while you are called to be on the wall. It's our watch right now. There will be a time when it's not going to be our watch. There will be another generation after us. But our time is now. We are on the wall. We need to press in. We need to be at attention. Let's look at a third quality that helps us to be strong and courageous. You see, strength and courage comes when we understand that our power lies outside of ourselves. It's not from within, it's from without, it's from God. Listen to how many times God uses the word I in speaking of reference to himself here in Joshua chapter 3. He says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. You see, six times God is saying, hey, don't look to yourself, Joshua. Look to me. Understand, I am the one who is your strength. I am the one who's going to help you to do this. Man, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't really see ourselves often as being special or as God's man for the hour. Because we recognize we're not super strong, we're not maybe uniquely gifted. That's not the majority of us. But you see, there's a problem there. The problem is that we only see one side of the coin. We're seeing our weakness, our faults, our frailties, our inabilities, our fears. But I got a spoiler alert for you. And that is that God is good with our weakness. He's good with our frailty. He's good with our fears. And the reason why is because there's another side to the coin. And that is that God, on this side of the coin, is our strength. God is our strength. He's the one who says, I will give you. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. That's his word to each one of us men. To you as a dad, as you're leading your family, and it's challenging, I know. These are the promises God's saying, I'm with you. I'm with you, my man. I will help you through this time. You're having challenges at work? I am with you. You're having challenges at home? Listen, I am with you. Trust me. Lean into my ways. Trust that I have a plan for you. Men, it's our nature to try and pursue strength, to try and be strong. But know this, that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. That's what he told the Apostle Paul when Paul had prayed three times for this thorn in this flesh, this hindrance, this obstacle to be removed from his life. And God spoke to me, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I can remember a seminal moment in my life as a young follower of Christ. I was about a year and a half, maybe 2 years old in the Lord, right about 19, 20 years old. And I had been going to a college, community college. I was in my second year. I was tracking to become a special ed teacher. But I had said yes to God. I had surrendered my life to him. And I began to feel God speaking to me about going to Bible college, to changing the track I was on. And I knew that if I went to Bible college, it was going to be a total change in my life. My vocation was not going to be that of a special ed teacher. It was going to be that of some kind of minister, whether it's a pastor, missionary, or whatever. And you know, I wasn't worried about the possibility of going to some foreign country, but I was terrified of the thought of being in front of people. You see, by nature, I'm an introvert. I'm a quiet person. And the thought of being before people, whether it was a handful of people or being in a room like this of hundreds of people, it terrified me. And I can remember one specific day as I was driving along in my little Toyota pickup truck, and I was on Firestone Boulevard in Downey, California, and just driving along, and the voice of God speaking to me, "Mario, I want you to go to Bible college." I'm like, "No, God, I don't want to do that." "Mario, I want you to go to Bible college." I wasn't an audible voice. This is just what I'm hearing inside of me and my heart. And I'm presenting to God every reason why I shouldn't. My inabilities, my weaknesses, my fears. And in the midst of that, then God spoke to me and he said, "If I call you, I will equip you." I'd never heard of that before up until that moment. But when I heard it, I knew it was the voice of God. I knew it was his word and his promise to me. And instantly, every argument I had just melted before me. It no longer had strength. I no longer could even vocalize it anymore. I knew at that time I had to do one of two things. I either say yes to the voice of God and what he is asking of me and trust him in it, or I rebel and I say no. And by God's grace, I said yes. And shortly after that, I enrolled in Bible college. 5 years later, I graduated from Bible college. And now, 38 years later from that, I stand here before you. Not because of my strength, not because of who I am and what I have. It is the grace of God. It is his power through me. I don't know what God has been speaking to you. I don't know what you have, what the voice of the Lord has asked you to do. But chances are, it's probably bigger than you have within yourself. And the question is, will you lean into it? Will you say yes to the voice of God? Men, let me share something with you. You do not have a weakness too weak that the strength of God cannot show through. Do you understand that? You don't have a weakness too weak that the strength of God cannot use and show through. I know oftentimes, sometimes guys have this thing about their past. Things that they've done that they regret. Things that they could just wish they could just wipe off their memory. But let me tell you, don't let your past keep you down. Don't let your past hold you from what God wants to do now in your life. Your past is covered by the blood of Jesus. He wants you to walk into what he has for you. In fact, chances are often that past is something he wants to use and redeem for your future. Let's look at another important quality. And that is being wholly committed to God's written word. It makes us strong and courageous. Look with me at verse 7 and 8. "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to some of the law." No, not some. We don't pick and choose. He says, "According to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may achieve success wherever you go." Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." You see, verse 8 tells us four very important things regarding the word of God and us as men. Also as women as well, for those ladies in the room and online. But again, for men, listen, it needs to be in your mouth. The word of God needs to be in your mouth. You need to be quoting it. You need to be speaking it. You need to be thinking it. We need to meditate also, secondly, we need to meditate, we're told, day and night. You know, many of us, we have a quiet time, and whenever that is, but that's not the only time we think of the Word of God. We need to ponder it throughout the day. We need to investigate it. We need to ask questions about it. We need to be careful, a third thing, to do what is written in it. We're just not looking to gain knowledge, gain information. That doesn't transform us. We need to be obedient to the Word. And then also a fourth thing here that's spoken of in verse 8 is our true success is joined at the hip with God's Word. I know some of you men would argue back and you say, Mario, but you don't know how busy I am. You don't know the demands of my job and how many hours I have to spend doing it. You don't know the time with my family that I have or other activities that I'm involved in. Well, I would just want to tell you this. If you don't have time for the Word of God, then you're not going to have time to have true success in life. That's what God's Word says. You know, you may have success in this world based on the world's standards, but you're going to come and you're going to find one day that you really missed it, that the true things of God are in alignment with the Word of God. Let's look at this final quality that helps us be strong and courageous. And that's when we have a focused commitment to helping others towards God's will. Look at verse 10. It says, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. You see, focusing on helping others to find God helps us to find God as well. Joshua was helping the people to get ready. He was helping them to find vision for God's destiny, God's plan. The people had been wandering for 40 years in the desert. They were still in a fog. This was their lifestyle. This is what they were used to. And Joshua is saying, no, it's time to wake up. It's time to recognize we have 3 days. Get your provisions ready. We're on the clock, 72 hours, and we march. And that's what we have, men. We have the opportunity to encourage others. Maybe it's family members. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's others at work. But we have the opportunity to speak into their life. Help them find God. Help them find His plan for their life. Dads, let me encourage you. I hope that that is for you, that you are an encourager in your family, that you're the one who's encouraging your wife, your children, to move into the things of God. That coming to church is really on your agenda. It's not you're being pulled to church. Oh, do we have to go to church again? No, man. It's like, come on, family, we're going to church. Get ready. Let's hear from God. Let's see what He has for us. Yeah. You know, is your family seeing you develop that sweetness with the Lord in your own life? Do they see you in the Word of God? Do they hear you pray? Do they see you serving others? That it's not just about you. Do they see that you recognize, you understand as you give your life away to others, that encourages them to do that as well? Let me wrap this up here. Men, dads, ladies, I don't think what God is asking of us, being strong and courageous, is beyond His ability to do in our life. He's going to do it through us if we will lean into Him, if we will work out our salvation as it speaks of in Philippians. I want to take a moment. I want to pray for the men, for the dads in our room. And I want to invite you men, would you stand right now if you're able? Would all the men just stand? I want to ask God's power into your life. I want to ask His favor into you. And as our men are standing here, ladies, I want to encourage you, continue to pray. You may, if you're comfortable, reach out your hand to the men around. Guys, for you, If you're comfortable just raising your hand to the Lord, go ahead and do that. Just receive from the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, you see our men standing here. You see them, Lord, just with their hearts, their arms lifted before you. Lord, we ask for the Spirit of God to come strongly upon them. Fill them, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Lord, empower them to be strong and courageous, to be men of God, Lord, men who walk before you, men who lead their families, men who lead others in the things and the cause of Christ. Lord, we thank you for them here this morning. We thank you for those who are online. Lord, we pray for your presence upon those men there. And Lord, we are thankful that we don't have to go this walk alone, but Lord, you are with us. And Lord, we thank you for each man who is here, the call of God on their life. Lord, your purpose for them. Lord, you have called them. You have gifted them. Lord, may they walk in that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let me invite you all to stand with you, with us. Go ahead and stand. Let me invite our ministry to come forward. As we always do, as we close our service, we're going to have an opportunity with some godly men and women who will be up here, would love to pray with you. Maybe you have an issue that you need to bring before God. This is your time to receive prayer. This is your time to be encouraged in prayer. If you're here with us as a guest, I do want to invite you to our information center to receive some information, meet some of our team over there. Let me just pray for you as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our morning together. We thank you for this time to hear from you, a time to be encouraged in the Word, a time to go forward in the power of Christ. Lord, bless our men. Lord, those who are dads, may this be a day of favor for them. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Hey, look up, child.